Good morning. It is Kale and Company Live right here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Great to have you with us. And as always, we are presented by Northeast Delta Dental with individual and family plans designed to fit your lifestyle. Learn more and find your plan at DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. And since this is the first Tuesday of April, we are going to talk insurance. And we welcome to our WKXL studios the New Hampshire Insurance Department Supervisor for Property and Casualty Compliance, Lou Ann King. Lou Ann, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, it is our pleasure to have you here. And before we start, why don't you talk a little bit about your background and how long you've been with the New Hampshire Insurance Department?
Sure. So I've been with the New Hampshire Insurance Department now for 6 years. And basically, I've been in insurance my entire life, my entire career. I've worked for different various insurance companies as an underwriter, and I've even held my producer license as well. So I would say my entire career has been spent with insurance, property and casualty.
Now, is that something you wanted to get into or somehow you got into it?
It picked me. And that's kind of the joke in the insurance industry is that you don't pick insurance. Insurance picks you. Uh-huh. And once you're in, you're pretty much in.
So, and you've been doing it for your entire career.
Yes.
And that is terrific. How did you transition to the New Hampshire Department of Insurance?
I had seen an ad, they were looking for help, and the job sounded like it was written just for me. Mm-hmm. And I applied, and instantly I was chosen. It was just my favorite job so far.
Well, that is terrific. It's always great to do something you enjoy. And I can speak from personal experience in that regard. And if you have any questions regarding your insurance coverage, the New Hampshire Insurance Department's Consumer Services Division is there to help you. You can contact them by emailing consumerservices@ins.nh.gov or calling 800-852-3416 and learn more at nh.gov/insurance. And Luann, in the world of insurance, what does compliance mean? We hear that term all the time, but what exactly does compliance mean?
So basically, at the insurance department, compliance means we make sure insurance companies are following our laws. Our laws include our statutes and our administrative rules. And me working in the property and casualty division at the insurance department means I deal with insurance that protects the property, which is your stuff, and casualty, which is your liability. And within the property and casualty division, before an insurance product can be marketed or sold to consumers, we review all of the forms and rates on the front end to make sure they're all in compliance with our laws. Then we review companies on the back end with a market conduct exam to make sure that they're following the laws after the product is sold, such as how they handle claims, cancellations, etc. So compliance, in a nutshell, is one of the ways we protect the insurance consumers of New Hampshire by ensuring insurance companies are adhering to our statutes and laws that are in place to protect consumers.
So what happens should the insurance companies not be complying with the laws?
In my division, we would object to forms that would not be in compliance with the statutes and laws. We make the companies change the language on their forms, and we make sure that the insurance company is going into marketing a product, understand their responsibilities. And then on the back end, on the market conduct exams, after the product has been sold, we make sure that they're following everything as they said that they would. If they don't, there are repercussions that could include things such as fines and, as an extreme example, we could revoke their license. That would be an extreme example.
And does it happen very often that companies do not comply with the regulations?
Initially, when they submit the forms or rates and so forth, there could be situations where they're not in compliance. Oftentimes, companies are going to give what they call a countrywide form. But as you know, insurance is regulated at a state level. Mm-hmm. So each individual state has their own set of rules that insurance companies must follow. And how a company would generally work it is they'll use their countrywide policy, but then they'll attach to it a statewide endorsement that brings the language into compliance. And that's acceptable as long as they do bring all of the base language into compliance with this amendatory form.
Well, what's the most important thing you look for? Is it rates or something else?
Definitely, we look to make sure. I don't really work with the rate side so much. I'm more on the form side. So we're looking for making sure that they give proper notice for cancellations. There are certain, depending on which line of insurance we're talking with, we have statutes that are very specific to different lines of insurance. Each of them work to protect insurance consumers of New Hampshire. So there are a lot, depending on what line of business we're reviewing, we make sure that they're in compliance with all of the statutes. And it would really be a long segment if you wanted to talk about all of the intricacies.
Yeah, yes. I'm sure it would be. But what would the standards be for a cancellation if people don't pay their insurance bills? How much leniency is there in terms of canceling a policy?
That's an easy one. So the non-pay cancellation that you're referring to across all lines of business in the property and casualty side is a 10-day notice to cure. So that means that the insurance company would have had to have given a bill to the consumer that went unpaid by the due date, and then they have to issue a non-pay notice, which gives 10 days with clear wording that at the end of this 10 days without payment, the policy would be canceled. So the answer to the non-payment is easy. That's 10 days. Once you get into other reasons for cancellation, the number of days is really dependent on the type of insurance.
Mm-hmm. So what would those variations be?
There could be fraud, misrepresentation, failure to comply with policy terms and conditions, substantial risk to a property that would increase the hazard after the policy was written. And those, depending on what line of insurance, would be, it could either be 45 days or 60 days, but again, it depends on the line.
Now, spring is an important time for people to start working on wedding plans for the summer and fall. There must be a lot of insurance products to consider when planning something like that. So let's start with the engagement ring. How would you insure an engagement ring, probably the most expensive item when you're talking weddings?
The best way to protect an expensive item such as an engagement ring is to add it or schedule it onto your homeowner's, renter's, or condo owner's policy. To do this, you just talk with your insurance agent and they'll be able to help you get your engagement ring and other items of significant value covered properly. They may ask you for an appraisal or a receipt for the engagement ring, which will become the amount of coverage you will have for that item. And scheduling a ring is not all that expensive and generally provides coverage if the ring gets lost, stolen, or damaged. Insuring your engagement ring can allow you to get it repaired, replaced, or fixed without paying a deductible, and coverage is provided worldwide.
So if you did add an engagement ring or another expensive item like that, would that add to your policy? You would have to pay additional?
Oh, yes. But yeah. It's very minimal, really. It's based on per hundreds. So like if whatever your ring is in, every company would have different rates. But mm-hmm. It would be a minimal expense per year. And it gives you that worldwide coverage.
Now, is there such a thing as wedding insurance? I mean, God forbid it should happen, but some weddings for reasons have to be canceled. Is there insurance for that?
Yes. We call that event insurance. So you would want to get an event policy, and that's going to cover your ceremony and reception. And it's not expensive, just like scheduling an engagement ring. And the important thing to consider with that is everybody's wedding is different. You could have from a live band to a DJ, indoor, outdoor, all nine yards or whatnot. But what you really want to do is talk to your agent, talk to them about what's important to you, what's going on with your wedding and your reception, because event policies can be very different with the coverages that they provide. Generally, all event policies can give coverage if a guest is injured or if a guest damages the venue's property in some way. Those are examples of your liability insurance. But like you mentioned, if you need to postpone or cancel your wedding due to uncontrollable circumstances, some policies provide cancellation insurance. And what that's going to do is reimburse your non-refundable expenses, such as deposits for your venue, music, food, cake, flowers. And examples of uncontrollable circumstances could include such things as inclement weather, which prevent the couple or guests whose presence is vital from arriving at the venue, or family illnesses or emergencies.
Well, speaking of music, as you did moments ago, we hear the music, which means we have to go to a break here on WKXL. And we're talking insurance this morning with Lou Ann King. And Lou Ann is the New Hampshire Insurance Department Supervisor for Property and Casualty Compliance. And very interesting, and lots of things that perhaps you did not realize that that you could insure. We'll take a break. Kale and Company will continue right here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental, and we will be right back. Welcome back. Kale and Company live here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. And it's the first Tuesday of April, and we're chatting insurance as we normally do on the first Tuesday of every month. And today, our guest in studio is Lou Ann King, and Lou Ann is the New Hampshire Insurance Department Supervisor for Property and Casualty Compliance. And I can tell you one thing about Lou Ann, and I think you can tell by her voice and by her knowledge that she is very passionate about the insurance industry, and you have been for many years.
My whole life.
When did it start?
I think it was late 80s, early 90s was my first insurance job in my hometown, and then just went to the next chapter in my life. I just kept moving up, 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 and here I am in Concord at the insurance department.
And you were telling me during the break, I hope I'm not telling tales out of school, but it's a compliment to the insurance department that you are there and others at the department as well to protect the consumer.
Exactly. That's our mission. We actually have a mission statement at the New Hampshire Insurance Department, and it is to protect the consumers, the insurance consumers of New Hampshire. You know, we're the quote unquote good guys.
You are there for the public.
Yes.
And you can contact the New Hampshire Insurance Department's Consumer Services Division. They are there to help you. And to contact them, you can email them at consumerservices@ins.nh.gov or calling 800-852-3416, and also learn more at nh.gov/insurance. So if you were, someone came to you and asked you, Lou Ann, if the insurance business is a good one to get into, I think you would wholeheartedly say that it was.
I would highly recommend it. It is a very rewarding career, I think. Everyone in their life at some point will have insurance, whether it be just the basic homeowner, auto, personal lines, or you could have a small business. You could require business insurance. There's so many different things. I think insurance touches everyone's life at some point. Again, we're only speaking this morning on property and casualty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think that everybody at some point is going to have an insurance need, or more than one.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And we were talking about, weddings and insuring engagement rings, which are very expensive, as most people know. And the ceremony itself is probably very important to make sure you have the proper insurance coverage. What are some important things people should know before? I mean, it should be a very romantic time going into a wedding, but you have to think about it from a protection perspective as well.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of venues now will require you to give them a certificate of insurance, and this is when the event policy is going to provide that that coverage. I mean, like you pointed out, that is like a very, it can be a very stressful day. There's a lot of moving parts and everything. And just to have that peace of mind to know that if anything does happen, that you are insured, you're protected from the unexpected, things that are out of your control. And that's really what insurance is going to protect you for. It's not the intentional things, but the things that you can't control.
Right.
And it's going to be there for you. And you don't need to worry about if a guest slips and falls on the dance floor. There's insurance coverage. If they break a very expensive vase, I mean, it's going to be covered. So if you have this insurance policy, again, speaking with your agent, letting them know what your plans are, they're going to be able to tailor a policy that's going to cover everything that you need it to cover. And something that we didn't even talk about is what happens if your vendor goes out of business. I mean,
right.
Insurance, depending on the policy that you buy, I mean, there can be coverage given for that as well. So, I mean, just it's going to take a lot of the worries away from you for your special day.
I know there was an instance in this state not too long ago where the business that was going to supply all the wedding gowns went out of business. And I don't know what happened ultimately. I think they got them from another wedding gown supplier. But that had to be a trying time for those people.
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. Last on this topic. What about the honeymoon? Can the honeymoon be insured?
To a certain extent, it can be.
Yeah.
Yes, you're gonna need to purchase a travel policy. That is not expensive, and it's going to cover a lot of very important things. For example, what happens if you are on your honeymoon in a foreign country, and you get really sick or seriously hurt? Your insurance, your health insurance back home isn't going to cover you. But travel policies can provide coverage for emergency medical and dental care and even extra expenses to get you back home quickly if that's necessary. Another important consideration is trip cancellation. Some policies provide coverage for you when your trip is canceled or even interrupted for reasons that are out of your control, like flight delays, natural disasters,
sure.
and stuff like that. I mean, those aren't in your control, and they're going to really impact your honeymoon, and you can have coverage for things like that. But not everything is covered by every policy, so it's really important that you know and understand as what is and what is not covered. That's the key there before you go into anything, is to have a knowledge of your policy. And if you have any questions or anything, that's where the insurance department or your agent can definitely step in and help you with all of that. And a really good example of something that everybody thought they were protected from when we're talking travel, but they weren't, is the pandemic.
Sure.
I mean, that really turned a lot of people upside down. They had travel plans and so forth, and you would have just assumed that your travel policy would pick that up, that exposure. It was clearly excluded in all the policies. The language was right there, not hidden or anything like that, spelled out very clearly. And the insurance department, we were inundated with complaints. From consumers. And the sad part to that is when we look at the policy, how it was written, how it was sold, it was in compliance and it was spelled out clearly. We can't do anything to help a consumer in that situation because no laws were broken. But what I'm saying is it's really important to just understand what your policy is and is not going to cover.
All right. And certainly, probably the vast majority of people do not know what a policy does and does not cover. So you, as you said, Luann, are there to help.
Yes.
And that's part of the great thing about having the New Hampshire Department of Insurance on your side. Now, let's just say from a personal perspective, I'm booking a cruise. And, you always see, and you can, the cruise company will give you the option of purchasing, a plan that they have on their website, or if you're talking to someone to book a cruise, they'll ask you if you want to take insurance. Now, what if you chose to take, another insurance provider other than the one that they suggest? Can you do that?
Absolutely. Yes, it's common whenever you book anything, a cruise or any kind of trip, right on the spot, they're going to offer you a policy,
right, yeah.
which you're welcome to take. but you're not obligated to. Any insurance agent can actually tailor an event policy, a travel policy to fit your needs. You don't have to purchase it through where you're booking. But the advantage to that, when you're speaking with an agent and they're going to tailor this travel policy to fit your needs, they can shop various companies. Mm-hmm. Your independent agent can shop right. various companies. And so each company may or may not offer different things. They're going to be able to say, this is what you need, this is the best match for you, and then they're going to match you up with the best coverage. So that's a very strong consideration. When you buy on the spot like that, you're probably locked into a very boilerplate policy that everybody that books through them gets.
Right.
You may or may not know all of your exclusions. So definitely your trusted independent insurance agent is a really strong resource for all of your insurance needs.
Another topic people are busy with this spring and summer and fall, getting out there with their boats, ATVs, and things of that nature. What are some insurance products people should definitely get or should consider?
Oh, so all the fun stuff. These are insurance products that'll cover all of your summer toys, your boats, watercrafts, jet skis, ATVs, UTVs, side-by-sides, motorcycles, and more. Your insurance agent knows all the ins and outs of these products, and they'll get you all the coverages you need for your recreational vehicles. So each type of a recreational vehicle has its own policy. You're not just going to get a policy that's going to cover all of your toys, but your independent agent will get you all of the individual policies that you need, and that's going to again cover the property itself, the item itself, as well as your liability for using this product. So again, you're going to be fully protected when you get an insurance product for your recreational vehicles.
And will that insurance still be in effect if you're outside the borders of New Hampshire?
Yes. So your territory is going to be clearly spelled out on all of your policies. Generally speaking, you're always going to have coverage in the United States and Canada. Mexico is a different story. There's no coverage in Mexico. And if you travel to another state and it has different insurance requirements and you have a good policy, that your policy is going to step up and provide you with coverage that another state requires that maybe New Hampshire doesn't. And that's just an automatic benefit from having an insurance policy.
Well, Luann King, we certainly appreciate you being with us today. A lot of great information over the last half hour. Luann is the New Hampshire Insurance Department Supervisor for Property and Casualty Compliance. And Luann, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
We'll take a break and continue after these words. Kale and Company live here on WKXL, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. And we'll be right back. Welcome back, Kale and Company Live on this Tuesday morning. A delight to have you with us here at WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We are presented, as always, by Northeast Delta Dental. Northeast Delta Dental has individual and family plans designed to fit your lifestyle. Learn more and find your plan at DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. And recently, our WKXL general manager, Catherine Martinez, had an opportunity to sit down with Josh Hardy of Concord Television to chat about the past, the present, and the future of this radio station, WKXL. And thanks to the folks at Concord TV for making the following segments possible that you are about to hear.
And welcome back to the program. On today's show, we're going to be talking with Catherine Martinez, who is the general manager of WKXL, our neighbor right down the street, a longtime fixture in the Concord community. And Catherine, just we love what you've been doing so far as general manager, and thanks for taking a few minutes. I know you have a really busy schedule and a lot that you do, right?
Yes.
So thanks for stopping by.
No problem. It's a very easy walk over here from 37 Reddington Road.
Yeah,
so.
As long as it's not downpouring, right?
As long as it's not downpouring, exactly.
Yeah. And you and I have talked a couple times lately, and it's been great to see the community outreach that you guys have been doing. But before we get into some of the now, if you could maybe just share for those who maybe are new to Concord. Most Concord residents know WKXL, but give us sort of the 30,000 foot view, brief history and what WKXL is.
I love it. First off, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being here and having the opportunity to talk a little bit about WKXL and what we're doing. WKXL began, first aired on June 15th, 1946, so 76 years ago, from Eagle Hotel right in downtown Concord, and then in the late 50s ended up moving to Reddington Road. That little house on the private drive was literally built for WKXL, which is pretty cool. And we were primarily known as the voice of the Capitol, so we talked a lot about politics and local businesses and local community outreach and all of that. And then we morphed into music, and now we're a little bit of both, and we're trying to also bring back local sports, so it's very exciting.
And over that time period since 1946, Concord has changed a lot. There's been a lot of changes in our in industries and lifestyle. We know Main Street looks a lot different, even things like the Eagle Hotel and things like that. With Eagle Hotel, that wasn't on Main Street, right? Was that on Main Street?
It was right on Main Street. Yeah. Same, yep, big building.
So it's crazy to me that KXL is one of those organizations that's been along for the ride as Concord's changed. WKXL, I'm sure, has adapted and changed along the way.
Absolutely.
What are some of the ways that you've seen that local radio has adapted to modern times?
Yes, that was a big one. I had a recent Concord Monitor article talking a little bit about this, which was super exciting. Shout out to Concord Monitor. I think, you know, there's been a lot of hubbub about radio, especially in regards to AM, which is what WKXL started as in 1450 AM, not being, you know, included in newer vehicles, electric vehicles. So the biggest question is, you know, is radio dying? Is it going anywhere? And I think the beautiful thing about radio is we need it because community needs it. And the moment we get rid of radio, community voice can be lost. Same with newspapers, same with anything, you know, located within that community range. So that was my biggest thing that I wanted to get out there in the Monitor, was that we are able to coexist with both. We have the opportunity to now be live streaming anywhere in the world. We're no longer confined to just our areas in Concord or Manchester, which is where we have signal now as well. So we can utilize that platform and that nouveau technology to reach to a wider audience. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I think reaching a wider audience, but I think there's a lot of alignment with both of our organizations because those are similar questions. And the same thing about, is cable television going away? Is, you know, do people not want to hear this programming or see this programming? But I think overwhelmingly we've seen that yes, people still want to be connected to what's happening in Concord, but people may be listening in other avenues. I think podcasting is a really big example where that is a huge medium right now, and podcasting is just another form of audio production, right? It's still interviews, it's still storytelling, it's still information.
Yeah.
And so you are live streaming 24/7 on the KXL website, mm-hmm. and also putting on SoundCloud all these interviews too. So,
so we have our own form of podcasting essentially,
right.
because we do upload to Apple and Spotify and iTunes
okay,
and all
good.
Of that. So every streaming platform you can imagine we're also utilizing, which also shows how radio can coexist with, you know, the changing times.
Yep.
I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon, which is a relief because I love broadcasting, and having been put in this position to learn about the family that resides within it has been such a wonderful and positive experience.
Yeah. So how did you get involved with WKXL? How did it all start?
So 3 years ago is when I got signed on with WKXL during the pandemic. So I was primarily working in, so I'm a musician, classical singer, and all types of genres. But I was actually working as a field producer in reality documentary television out of Las Vegas. So when the pandemic hit, everything shut down on the West Coast. I wasn't really working, and I knew some folks at WKXL, and I had some audio production experience in being a vocalist. So I learned the ropes there and what the procedures were there, and that's how I started, was as an audio producer, daytime producer, running the live board, editing all the content, working with the social media and the website management. So a lot of little pieces. And then last year, some things changed, and I was asked to come on board as a general manager, which was a shock, because you start out as an audio producer, and now you're helping run the station. Yep. That's a vast difference from what I was doing before. And I really could not have done anything within this past year without the support of my team and the support of our station owner, Gordon Humphrey. He's owned the station for 20 years now, took it over in 2004. And having his support and community support as well, get excited seeing someone new with innovative ideas that might be a little bit younger sitting in the seat as GM. I'm not super young, but you know, I'm still holding true to being within the younger generation as GM.
The younger crowd.
The younger crowd, yes. I'll hold on to that for as long as I can. But I'm learning something new every day, and I love soaking in as much knowledge as I can with my peers, and those that have been in the broadcast industry for so long are now stopping by the station to check up on me. If I have any questions, they're offering a lending hand, and I couldn't be more grateful for the support.
Yeah. Do you want to give a shout out? Are there other members of the team that you mentioned that you wanted to just sort of mention or give a shout out to?
Absolutely, yes. Peter St. James, thank you for all of your support. Yeah. He's a big, very well-known radio personality in the community. Ken Kale as well was such a support in getting me through this process. Shout out to Andrew Gibson, who's our new daytime producer, who took over a big workload for me, because at the time I was doing both daytime producing and general managing.
It's too much.
It's wild, yeah. So I'm very grateful for him, and to be able to trust somebody downstairs is wonderful. And my mother, Jane Cormier, who is also a radio host at the station.
I've been
on
Artful Living.
We got to get you back on.
I'd love to be on anytime.
Okay, wonderful. I'll make sure to email you after this. And of course, again, Gordon Humphrey for his endless support and open ear to anything I might be stressed about, and him alleviating that.
Good. I think sometimes there's organizational fears when younger generations, and I say young, I mean typically millennial age people, step into leadership roles of, you know, oh no, you're going to wipe away our history, or you're going to wipe away. And it's great. There's a lot of examples. Your story certainly is one of them, where you respect the history of the organization, understand the mission, the purpose, the community service provided, but just offer a different perspective, offer different ideas, try different things that I think we're seeing around Concord, other examples of that. And it makes Concord a better place, I think.
It really does. It is. I love history. So being able to preserve and protect the legacy of WKXL. And again, I'm still learning about all the different paths. I mean, it's been around for so long. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that. But that's been the biggest thing as well that I really wanted to push in that article as well was we're working with the Concord Historical Society. I went up in the attic and pulled all the old big reel-to-reels and 8-tracks.
Is that over at Kimball Jenkins where they... Yes.
And we're in the process of trying to find a grant to digitize everything that we have and put it online for the public to have access to, for the Historical Society to have access to. All of our old equipment from the 50s is downstairs being housed. So I almost want to make the station into a little museum and, you know, show where we came from. I love stuff like that. So
you could see like a little tour or something, or a little like guided walk or something. Yeah.
Self-guided.
Yeah.
I mean, that station, I mean, it literally looks like a house on an abandoned road, which can sometimes be a little stark for people. But I have to remember, you know, this road or this building was built in the late 50s. You know, and we are an independent station. So we're not going to run like your typical corporate big brick buildings, you know, and radio. So I love our little house. It's like a second home.
Yeah, it's great. And I love the location, this part of Concord. We can, on a nice day, like you said, you can walk here.
Literally.
I can walk over there. Yeah.
Yes.
And you were just listening to part of the interview conducted by Josh Hardy of Concord TV with our general manager, Catherine Martinez, or as we like to call her around here, Cat. And she doesn't mind that a bit. And terrific stuff, talking about what's happening here right now at WKXL, what has happened in the past, and what is happening in the future. And I know one of the things that's going to happen in the future is that we are going to be very visible this year during market days in downtown Concord. So be aware of that. WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Thanks for joining us as always. We are presented by our good friends at Northeast Delta Dental, with individual and family plans designed to fit your lifestyle. Back with more after these words. We welcome you back on this Tuesday morning. It's Kale and Company Live on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, presented by our good friends at Northeast Delta Dental. It is a Tuesday. Tomorrow, special guest in studio will be our good friend John Leahy. You hear him Mondays doing his Hockey East update for us. You will hear him in a different light tomorrow as he plays his ukulele and serenades us here on WKXL. Well, during our last segment, we heard from WKXL General Manager Kat Martinez, and right now, more from Josh Hardy and Kat Martinez.
I lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
There's so much good stuff. I wanted to ask you about just in your experience the last couple of years, do you have any fun stories that are worth sharing or funny things that have happened? We work in a similar type of production environment. We have all kinds of stories of fun things that have happened or quirky things or things that go, oh my God, only in local media could this happen.
Yeah, anything
like that stands out?
Nothing that sticks out. I feel like there's so much that happens at the radio station. The biggest thing is the technology. You know, that was a huge, to be just totally transparent, that was a very big handicap for me. I was very nervous about that coming in as GM because I knew nothing about this industry as a whole, let alone the technology of if something breaks or goes down, you know, how do I make this work? Shout out to Andy as well, who is our engineer. He's been a lifesaver in helping me figure out and navigate it. But I think the funniest thing is when there's this big transmitter and something's off the air, it's literally as simple as turning it off and back on. You don't really think about it like
troubleshooting 101.
Literally.
Turn it off, turn it back on.
Yes, yeah. So yeah, I've had so many panics of, you know, our big AM transmitter not working, and you know, I'll call Andy and he's like, Kat, just, you gotta turn it off and back on. And you just gotta laugh about it because you don't, you wanna be careful with this equipment, especially, we still have the original AM transmitter from 1946 downstairs. It's actually a backup for the new one that we have now. So if the new one happens
so it'll
to go
still
down,
run.
It still runs. We had, and when we got our new signal in Manchester, we did have an incident with one of our Concord towers. It fell, and we ended up having to mount a new antenna for our Concord location to the AM tower in the back of our radio station, which was awesome, but it was a big, it was a thing. And luckily it ended up working out and being fine, but we actually had to kick on the old AM transmitter for a little bit, and it was loud, but it worked. They're like Nokia phones. You really can't break them.
Oh my God. Yeah, you throw it against the wall.
Literally,
it works.
It's indestructible.
So that's, I mean, I think that's always going to be the problem. We encounter all kinds of technical issues, even though there's all these promises of, you know, new digital technology. It works better than ever. It's streamlined. You hear all that.
Yeah.
There's still things that go wrong, even with newer equipment.
Of course it does. I mean, the biggest issues we have, which I think most radio stations have, is big rainstorms, thunderstorms, power will go on and off, and snow. Sometimes snow will pile up into the big satellites and you've got to shovel it out and have, because if that happens.
Sounds like you've had to do that.
Yeah, you know, it's but it's fine. It's just part of the job.
Part of it,
But I think what I love about it is, you know, how authentic it is. You know, we're human at the end of the day. Not everything's going to be perfect. And the same goes for radio or any broadcasting. So
you love the authenticity. What else do you love about WKXL and local radio?
I just love the support that we have received for as long as we have, for 76 years. Seeing people light up when they have the opportunity to come in and interview and talk about their experience here, or seeing our interactions on social media when we post a Flashback Friday of an old black and white photo and they're able to list every employee that was in that photo. I mean, that's a big deal. I always say, you know, any advertisers that come on or new folks that come sponsor, or even just anybody that wants to come and visit the station, we welcome them to the table, you know, to be a part of the WKXL family. Yep. And that's hugely important to me.
Are there any things in particular you're looking forward to coming up, either specific events or just in general that you're looking forward to coming up?
Yes. So just in regards to programming in general, we have a lot of new local programming coming up, especially in our weekend slots, which is going to be super exciting. So keep an ear out for that. Okay. And we have a WKXL New Hampshire Opera Idol competition coming up on April 28th at the Bank of the New Hampshire stage in the Canton Room.
That's going to be fun.
It will be. And Concord TV is coming out.
We'll be there. The Canton Room, that's like the upstairs room of the kind of the lounge area.
It's beautiful. It's a little cute little recital area.
Yeah,
so we're
going
to have a nice little grand in there and have some opera singers from all over the U.S. come out and compete for contracts and cash prizes.
It's going to be a big deal.
It's going to be so much fun. We're seeing a lot of traffic already. You know, tickets can be purchased at the Capital Center for the Arts, ccanh.com, I believe.
Which they're also a great community partner,
too.
We love them.
Oh, we have Sal over all the time, Sal Prizio.
Yep.
He's a great person to know if you're interested in coming out and doing shows with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else besides that? That seems like the big event coming up.
That's the big one, I feel like there's so many new ideas and exciting things to come. I'm trying to practice patience and not have everything
not
run at
in.
Once. Especially, considering we are a big, small team at the station. But keep an ear out. Follow us on social media, WKXLNH on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And check out our website as well, nhtalkradio.com, for all the updates.
Yeah, you guys are posting a lot on social media, so that's a great way to keep up with what you guys are doing.
Yeah, we didn't have as strong of a presence a couple of years ago, but we're trying to get back into that. And we have some interns on the way that are going to come over and help us out. So
you guys probably noticed when Facebook went down a couple days, just like we did, right?
Yes, that was yesterday. I thought I was hacked. I think everybody thought they were hacked, yes.
That's what we thought too, and that's one of our big drivers. I mean, we're not posting, like for us, we post maybe two or three times a day with some highlights of, the big productions we've been working on. Mm. But when you literally think your account has been hacked into, it wasn't just a you can't get in, but it was like a your password's not working situation.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it was, and my personal Facebook has about 6 or 7 business accounts attached to it, including WKXL.
So that's a big deal. Yeah.
Like, same please here. Work. Instagram too. So you own Instagram as well. So
That is the downside. We do, and we were talking before we started recording about the big social media companies and about some of the automation they do and how it impacts us as small content creators. Mm-hmm. The fact that we depend on YouTube, Facebook. Not going to say anything bad because they could take any of this down at any time, right?
Right.
But the strength of local media is it's real people, real community members like you and me, that we have real staff back there.
Yeah.
I told Matt I was going to name drop him once. Emmett's back there too.
Okay.
But those are real people. It's not AI. It's not automated.
No.
And that people need to support local media so that we can continue to have positions for real people to do this work that isn't automated, that isn't some person in... No offense to California, who clicks a button and says, nope, that violates our policies, that video can't go up.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a problem that I do see that we've been battling.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a constant one, especially with AI coming up now and, all of the new technological advances we have coming up. But, we are forced to be reckoned with when we stick together.
I agree.
Making sure that, public access, newspaper, radio, and even supporting your local businesses is hugely important.
Yep.
So check everybody out.
Yeah, right. It's definitely worth shouting out. You mentioned the Concord Monitor. They've been really great to work with. Concord Patch we've worked with. So
yes.
And we all fit different. There's kind of areas of some overlap or alignment of our collective mission.
Yeah.
But we all kind of do slightly different provide different services slightly.
Yeah.
So there's, I always find that we work with like a Concord Patch and a Tony really well.
I love Tony.
In case he listens to a lot of programming. But that we serve slightly different purposes, and that's great. Or the Concord Monitor, they cover things that we never would have a chance to.
Yeah.
And that we're not really in the print media game. Mm. And certainly a lot of what KXL does, we don't have the capacity to produce as many shows as you guys produce.
Right.
So, but when we work together, and we've seen instances like during elections where we've worked together and certainly coming up on other, like our Opera
Idol.
Opera Idol
yes.
opportunities to work together. So like you said, sticking together, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's hugely important. We are all very similar in regards to like our overall theme and what we want to produce, but we are also uniquely our own.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's important.
It is very important.
Anything else that you wanted to remind our audience about? Could you maybe just remind us just one more time of where we can listen on AM, FM, online? Give us the whole rundown again.
Yes, so we are 1450 AM and 103.9 FM in Concord, mm-hmm. and 101.9 FM in Manchester. That's our new signal out there. It goes out as far as Wyndham, I've heard, which is insane. I mean, it's such a strong signal. You can also listen to us 24 hours on our website at nhtalkradio.com on our Listen Online tab, and follow us on social media, WKXLNH on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. X.
That's right, yeah.
You see,
now we're going to get removed from Twitter now, too. Great.
Here it doesn't exist, so maybe not.
It doesn't.
You
know,
it's fine.
On X.
Yes, on X.
This has been a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us. Catherine from WKXL, keep up the great work.
Thank you.
And you're welcome back anytime.
So. I appreciate that, and you're welcome at the station as well. Thank you for having me.
I'll take you up on that. Thank you so much. Thanks to everyone for watching. We'll see you for the next Community Conversations. If you have ideas for guests that you want us to have on, organizations to feature, let us know, and we'll see you for the next one. Thanks.
And our thanks again to the good folks at Concord TV for allowing us to air those segments that were on TV from our good friends at Concord TV, Josh Hardy, and the outstanding crew that does a great job covering all kinds of events in the Concord area. So we thank them. On this Tuesday, International Children's Book Day, read to your kids. It is very important. I know my parents read to me, and, well, maybe I'm not the best example, but no, I'm only kidding. It is very important that you get out and take the opportunity to read to your kids. Also, International Fact-Checking Day, just the facts, ma'am. National Love Your Produce Manager Day, and National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. That's the best day you can possibly have. Remember, folks, to always look on the bright side of life, and we will see you tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday, everyone.